us this week. And I want to start in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that Christ has in Christ, God, that it is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though Christ was pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. So he made himself, who knew no sin, to be our sin for us, that we become the righteousness of God in him. So that's 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21, sorry. So we've been reconciled to God. It's really echoey. So that's the good news of the gospel. That we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. That we no longer don't have to live the old ways we had once lived. That Jesus died for our sins. He paid the penalty in full. That we don't have to pay it on our behalf, but Jesus paid it on our behalf. And all that we have to do is lay down our lives to him and repent and come to know him as our Lord and Savior. And so as we go into Romans, Romans talks about the good news. And what is the good news? What's the good news? Good news is the gospel. The good news is the gospel of Christ. The good news, how many of us, like, we hear so much, every day we hear many news things across the world, right? How many of us, we watch our phones, we open up our phones, we look on Facebook, we look on this, and we see news all around the world. Yesterday, Morocco, they had an earthquake, 6.8, a couple days ago. Over 2,000 people are dead. And climbing. There's major floods oh my goodness, all around the world. China, Middle East, there's volcanoes, active volcanoes. Nobody's has seen so many active volcanoes. We see all these news things. In Hawaii, Maui, was it over 1,000 people are still missing? And nobody don't know where they're at. Mostly of them are kids. And nobody's saying a thing. We get bombarded every day with bad news, don't we? And so what's more attractive? Good news or bad news? But why is it that we're always drawn to bad news, more so the good news? We have the good news, the gospel in front of us. But the majority of the time, we don't talk about the good news. We always talk about the bad news, about my bad day, or about bad things that are happening in my life. I talk about the tremendous things that are going on. It's like, why don't we talk about the good news of Jesus Christ? See, we even as believers, sometimes we gravitate to the bad news. We don't talk about the good news of salvation through Christ. Right? Because it's easier to talk about the bad news. It's easier to get into the bad news things, like this bad thing, this bad thing. But the Bible tells us, these things have to happen. We should not be taken by a surprise that there is earthquakes, floodings, birthing pains in this world? The Bible says these things have to happen before we are caught up with Christ. That's the good news, that we will not, as a believer in Christ, we will not be here. And the good news is that we can share it with our family and friends who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So we can take what we're hearing the bad news of and spin it and say, you know what, here's the good news. Can I tell you the good news today? Can I tell you that the Bible, over thousands of years before, said this will happen? The Bible is so accurate, he will tell you, he's telling me right now, these things will happen. These things will happen. And he's preparing us so we don't have to be freaking out about things and what's happening. We don't have to get down and worried. But we can say, you know what? God is good. I know in the very end, God wins. And so that's the good news. You know, the Apostle Paul in Romans is announcing the good news. The gospel. Gospel means good news. I'd rather be talking about the good news rather than the stuff that is, because when you start hearing, I can't watch too many news because it's so, it gets you frustrated. But you almost have to laugh about this because there's no way Hollywood actually make this kind of theme or movie about all these things because it's so ridiculous. And it's so ridiculous that people are buying into it. Absolutely. It's like you would never think this is a plot line, but here it is happening. But the good news is Jesus gave us hope. He saved us from our sin. He reconciled us. He is working in your lives. He's drawing you closer to him. He's changing your attitudes, changing your hearts. He's changing the perspective, how you see things and how you live and react to things. That's the good news. A few weeks ago, I asked a few people to share what has God been working in their lives? How has God been working in their lives? And it's good news to share the truth of the gospel to people, to encourage one another, build up one another in the faith. So the good news, are we willing to share the good news? Instead of talking about the bad things that's happening, even in your worst days, God is there. Do you know that? He says that, I will never leave you, nor I will forsake you. He's always with you. And sometimes we don't see that. And so in Romans 1, it's amazing how Apostle Paul, you know, the book of Romans, has good and bad news in it. Right? So the bad news in Romans is, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's that bad news. It's actually good news. Because it's revealing that we all have sinned. None of us are righteous. None of us are holy without Christ. So we can't earn salvation through works. The only way to have salvation is through Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. That's the good news. We see it as bad, now it's good news. Romans 6:23, it says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death. In order to have life, we need Christ. Romans 1:18 says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. We see how many people are suppressing the truth today. We're seeing how they say, this is my truth, this is my reality. And if you don't agree with my reality, then you're unloving, you're a bigot, you're a hypocrite. They call you a bunch of names. But they're living in a reality that is not factual. They live in a lie. They're suppressing the truth. Because God only created male and female. There's only two sexes. Marriage is between a man, biological man, and biological female. Women can't have babies. Right? The truth is the truth. And so, and you look at the gospel is the good news because it contains the exceedingly wonderful message of God's redemption of sinful humanity through the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of our Lord. The gospel is from God. No man would write a gospel like this. The gospel is what God has done and completed for man. So it's God's redemptive story. And last night I was watching a sermon that says, what does the Bible stand for? I like this one. Basic instruction. Basic instruction. Right? Before leaving Earth. And I like that. It was Jack Hibbs who said that. Right? The Bible is basic instruction. You know, and so for us, because we ought to be reading the Word of God every day. Every single day, this should be our life and our desire. We need instruction. We need correction. We need to know what is right and what is wrong. And so man cannot add or subtract from the gospel. I cannot add anything more to it. And also there's a warning against that. Do not take away or add to the gospel. So I have to not compromise the Word of God. I got to take it what the Word of God says. I can't have the Word of God to fit my narrative. But I have to say, Lord, help me to understand your Word, to be able to apply it to my life, so that my life comes in alignment to yours. Lord, I don't want to live a life that is separated from you or live a way that is contrary to what your word says. God shows he loves us in that while we were still sinners, that before you came to know Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. But when you come as a child, now become an heir, a child of God, no longer a sinner. Two different. Sinner continues to sin without God. We are a child of God now. We're not sinners anymore. We're a child of God. And so sometimes we don't see ourselves as a child of God because we know sometimes our tendency is to fall away from Him and do things that we do not want to do. But we repent. So Romans speaks of the freedom we can receive through Christ, being set free from sinful bondages, ungodly behaviors, ungodly lifestyle, ungodly thoughts, and be transformed by the inworking of the Holy Spirit. This is what Romans will reveal to us as we go through the book of Romans. In Romans, there are four themes. It speaks on the wrath of God, grace of God, the plan of God, and the will of God. We know that Paul was called Saul, born in Tarsus. That's why he says, Saul of Tarsus. And so, Tarsus is a modern city in Turkey. He was a very smart man. He knew how to share the gospel, speak the gospel. And he was the best, had the best education, He was the best, one of the top Pharisees. He was trained by a famous rabbi that he loved and admired. Paul was a Pharisee from the tribe of Benjamin, so he is a Jew. Paul is his Roman name, and it meant little or short. So if Pharisees believe in the resurrection and afterlife, believed in angels and final judgment, they associated with common people and made them the blue-collar religious leaders. They viewed Moses as the supreme leader of religion, holding to the high view of written scripture. They believed that God blessed them who kept the law of the Torah. They were experts in the Old Testament. Pharisee also means separated one. They separated themselves from people that were sinners. They wanted to be separated from anybody that was a Gentile and had nothing to do with them. They wanted to be separated from them. We also know Paul was a tent maker by trade. Paul, being skilled as a tent maker, he didn't want to be a burden to the church. So he worked and preached. And he had that skill to support himself. So Romans 1 says this: Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. So it reveals, verse 1, it says, bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separate to the gospel of God. So he's a servant, bought by another. And who was he bought by? And he's separated. And what's he separated from? When we come to know as a believer, we're set apart from the world. We do not live like the world does. We don't live like somebody who does not know Christ. We don't go out and get drunk and party it up. We don't go out just have sex with whoever we want. We don't go out and do all these ungodly things. We don't tell bad jokes. Don't curse and swear. We don't do these things that are ungodly. We're supposed to be separated from the world. Our lives ought to reflect Christ. Our lives ought to reflect how the Word of God has impacted our lives. That's why he was set apart. He did not want to live the way he used to live. Do we desire to live differently today? Do I really want to live differently than how before I came to Christ? And he was called. We think about it. When we came to know Christ as our Lord and Savior, he separated us. He separated us from the world. He separated us to live differently. And he's called each one of us to live a life that honors him. To live a life that is a holy and righteous life. And though sometimes we may fail, we sin, we repent and say, God, forgive me for failing you. Lord, change my heart. Help me to line up to what your word says, to be able to apply your word to my life. You know, even Paul, says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ, We know Paul was a man of God. He did so many, he wrote majority of the New Testament. Have you ever met somebody who says, you know, what's your name? And they say, oh, this, they put their title first. You know, I'm Reverend Kyle Clark. You know, or somebody would say, oh, I'm Dr. So-and-so. Because they identify with that. But look what Paul says. How does he identify himself? Because he could have said, I'm Apostle Paul. But he says, I'm a bondservant of Christ. He put himself down at the bottom. He had all right to say, this is who I am. But he'd rather say, you know what? I'm the bondservant, bought and paid for in full by Christ, for Christ, to be set apart in this world to be a godly example to those who do not know Christ. Your title doesn't mean anything. It's like, do I identify as a servant, a bondservant of Christ? Do I say I'm a bondservant of Christ because I've been bought and paid for by Christ, for Christ, to live for Christ? And that's, he could have said, you know what, I wrote all these letters. But he chose to say, it shows the humility of Paul. Really shows the humility of Paul because he says, I'm a bondservant of Christ. Called to be an apostle. He never chose to be called an apostle. He didn't go looking out for this title. It was given to him by Jesus. Jesus said, you're going to be an apostle. You're going to go out and proclaim the truth of the gospel. Jesus himself gave Paul that title. Paul had so many credentials. But he chose to say that I'm a bondservant in Christ. Shows humility, just like Jesus. Jesus walked with humbleness and meekness. And Paul really wanted to be identified that way. So how could Paul write? So the risen Christ personally spoke to Paul on that day on the road to Damascus and gave Paul a worldwide purpose to speak, defend, share the gospel without compromise. In Acts 9:6, if you read Acts 9:6, he met him and he said, Lord, you know, how does it go? Read Romans or Acts 6. Acts 6. Oh, sorry, Acts 9. Sorry. Acts 9. So as they journeyed, verse 3, as they journeyed, had come near to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, around Paul. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Then Paul said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled, so Paul trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? See his response? He had the correct response. It's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? What must I do? When the Lord speaks to us, do I say, Lord, what's my response? Do I say, Lord, what must I do? What are you wanting me to do for you? Not what I think I need to be doing for you, but what has the Lord has called each one of us to do? What has God called us to do? One is to share the truth of the gospel, to make disciples, mentor, and encourage people in the faith. That's what he's called us to do. To share the truth. We're supposed to go and all around. It's amazing how in Canada we have all the different cultures coming to this country, so we don't have to leave Canada to share the gospel to people around the world. Because Paul is a bondservant who received his authority from Christ, he's also a man who is set apart for the gospel of God. So bondservant means to be separated to Christ. Am I separated to Christ alone? Am I really truly desiring to be separated from this world, to be really separated to Christ? I think sometimes that's why we don't like to read in Romans. There's a lot of good stuff in here, and there's a lot of convicting stuff. Right? We sometimes have our own imagination of what Christianity should look like, or a life of a believer should be. We see in the very first verse, Paul is saying that I'm a bondservant to Christ. I'm separated to Christ. I belong to Christ. And as we go through the book of Revelation, or sorry, book of Romans, sorry, through the book of Romans, we get to see how he denies himself and how he surrenders to Christ. And he doesn't want to go ahead of Christ. He desires to be in step, saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? Surrenderedness to Christ. We see how Paul is surrendered to Christ. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." This is how we ought to be living. Because this is a bit, we think this is an ungodly time that we live in. But we're supposed to live a godly life. We're supposed to live soberly, righteously. Verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope. So when we look for the blessed hope, that's my Savior. Looking to Christ, is my eyes fixed on Christ. And the glorious appearing of our great and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, and that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. The question is, do I desire to do good works for Christ? Not to earn salvation, but to do good works out of admiration and love for him. Just like your wife, do you do good things just to earn, say, how much you want her to love you more? Or do you just do it because you love her that much? Right? What's the intent behind when I do things? To earn it, or just reciprocate it because how much I love her, or I love that person. So is this my own heart desire? To truly set apart from the world and truly live as a servant for Christ. To truly be separated to the gospel. And I know it's nothing wrong enjoying the things that God has given us, or the things that we see, or the opportunities that we're able to go here or there, but who is first in our life. That's the only thing. There's nothing wrong in having stuff. But is Christ the primary focus in our life? To be a slave of somebody, you have to be been bought by them. So he calls himself a slave or a bondservant, which means Christ bought him. Galatians 1:10 says, For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. So who do we desire to please? Because if I desire to please man, I'm not truly a bondservant of Christ. That's in Galatians 1:10, and it says, so do I desire to please God? Because if I truly desire to please God, then that means I really am a bondservant of Christ. Who do I desire to please every day? Man. You know, you think about Paul is set apart from the time that he was born. God has a plan and purpose for all of us. He created you. He knitted you in your mother's womb. He knows everything about you. And he desires people to know him and come to him and to receive him, to enjoy him, to have a life of abundance, to be truly set free from sin, the power of sin, to be set free from chains and shackles that are holding us back. He wants people set free. So here's Paul. You know, think of the detour that happened in his life. How many of us have a detour in our life? Maybe one or two detours. Maybe we're still on a detour. I don't know. So here's, he had a detour. He's been called to be separated for Christ. He had a detour in his life. It was pretty horrendous. Right? Here's a man. He was a murderer. He hated the followers of Christ. He persecuted the church. He did unspeakable things. And all because he was a zealot. And he said, these followers of Christ are not following God's word. So he was thinking that he was doing God's work. But God got a hold of him. Paul was literally going down the wrong road in life. Then a flash of light. Think about it. He was walking in darkness. Light exposed his sin or the wrong way he was walking. His entire life was not only turned around, but he gained proper focus. He desired to share the good news that he never had before. Instead of being separated from everybody else, he wanted to be separated towards Christ to share the good news of the gospel to all those who are perishing, desiring them to hear the good news, to fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his desire. The verse isn't about Paul. It actually shows how Christ is behind it. Jesus brought him to himself. God calls Paul to be an apostle. God calls him to be separated for the gospel. God's behind this. God is in your life. He doesn't want us to be separated from him any longer. But he desires us to take the steps of surrenderness to say that I am wanting to be separated from this world and truly be separated to the gospel, to live a life that honors you, to live a life that truly brings honor to your name, truly showing how a transformed life is, and surrenderness to Christ. First Corinthians 7:23 says, you were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So we were bought with a price. Pretty sobering. I hope that our minds comprehend what is being said here. That sometimes we hear this. It's a very sobering book of Romans is very sobering. In 1 Timothy 1:12. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, and I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. All of us are called into the ministry. Do you know that? In your workplaces, you're called to share the truth of Christ to them. In our homes, we're called to be ministers. To our friends, we're called to be ministers of the gospel. At school, we're called to be ministers of the gospel. Although I was firmly, Paul is speaking, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor. This is how I was formerly, before Christ. This is how my old life was. Right? He's saying that I am no longer this. How many times do you still say this is how I used to be? Instead of saying this is who I am today. Who am I today? I'm a child of God. I'm a bondservant of Christ. I am saved by the mercy and grace of God. I'm a child. I'm a co-heir in Christ. I'm, what else? I'm a part of the bride of Christ. I'm married to Christ. Because sometimes it's hard to grasp good news. Like I said, it's easy to believe lies and bad news. Like, Lord, help me not to believe bad news any longer. Lord, let me not believe what I used to be, but now who you actually called me to be. But he says, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ. Verse 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am a chief. He thinks Paul was the worst. He was pretty bad. But we know throughout Scripture there's pretty other bad people too that come to know Christ. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as pattern to those who are going to believe on him on everlasting life. And now to the eternal, moral, invisible God, whom alone is wise, to be honor and glory forever and ever. So God is the most important word in the book of Romans. I think there's over 160 times it talks about God. Romans is a book about God. So no topic is greater without anything like the frequency of God, to be talking about God, sharing what God is doing in my life, how he's been continuing to work in my heart. Everything Paul touches in this letter, he relates to God. In our concern to understand what the apostle is saying about righteousness and justification, and we ought not to overlook the tremendous concentration of who God is. It's about God. About God first. As you see through the scriptures, well, hopefully you see, it's true that God set him apart before he was born. God permitted him to go his own way for a season. Sometimes God allows us to go on the wrong path at times, because we learn from that. But he's calling us to himself. And sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes our kids make mistakes. As much as we want them not to make mistakes, they're still going to make mistakes. As a child of God, sometimes I'm going to make a mistake. And God allows me to make that mistake so I will learn from it and repent of being not in step with them. You see that God is the foundation of Paul's life. God is the core of his life. And God is at the top of his life. He's the foundation of his life. In his heart, God is in his heart. And he desires to please God. And all he thinks about is God. You see how Paul's life and how the gospel truly is the best news that he ever heard. He's totally separated and sold out for Christ. We read how the gospel was not just profession of faith, so declaring his faith. We see how the gospel grabbed and seized Paul's very soul, because that's all Paul could talk about. So he was truly a changed man. Paul was affected wholeheartedly for Christ. Because you look at, through the words of God, he will go next week, whatever. But just how he talks in verse 8 and 4, how he talks about always praying for others, always being encouraged by seeing what God's been doing in other people's life. Praising God for the change in people's hearts. He never focused on himself, but always praising God for, Lord, thank you that I can see this change, or what I've been hearing in Rome, of all these people, the church is growing, flourishing, and he longed to be there. And God said, not yet. You know, when did Paul finally get to Rome? Yeah, he was in a ship, and he longed to go to Rome, and he was like, man, I really want to go to Rome, and it was always a door closed. And finally, at the very end, when Paul gets to go to Rome, he was a prisoner of the Roman army to get to see Caesar, and to go in front of them, you know, and then finally he gets killed. That's how he gets to Rome. You see how God has a different plan for our lives. But are we being content where he has us today? Paul was content. He had a longing, a desire to be in Rome, but he was content where God had him in that time. And are we content where God has us? Look at God calling me right now, eh? God has, are we content where God has us? Am I content with God? Am I trying to run ahead of God? Am I trying to do things in my own strength? Rather having God first and asking Him, Lord, help me to be content and to learn for where I'm at today. So as we go in Romans, we'll read more. There's a lot in Romans. It's going to be some challenging times. Some things that are really going to really, I pray that our eyes be opened up more. That our actually to say, Lord, I truly want to live for you. That I'm not just going to profess it and then live however I want Monday to Saturday. But I really want to live this kind of life 7 days a week. Truly be separated for you, to live for you like none other. And then we can't do this on our own. He gives us the Holy Spirit who enables us to live a life that honors Him. He enables us by the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to rely on you, to depend on you, to know that I can do all things through Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, that your word would continue to penetrate our hearts and reveal things in our own lives that need to be dealt with. And Lord, that we would actually desire to be truly separated from you alone. Be separated for your word, to be separated from this world, to have the focus onto you and onto your coming. Be ready for when you come to catch us in the air, bring us home to be with you forever. Lord, let us not be, Lord, let us pray for boldness that we would share the gospel to friends and family. Lord, let us share the good news. Lord, thank you that you have given us hope that we could actually persevere through this because you give us hope. You give us the endurance. You give us the strength. Thank you, Lord, that you are everything. In Jesus' name, amen.